Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You're the mom, the maid, the keeper of the cookies. You do it all and you look good doing it. It's parenthood on a mother level. Here's your host, Denise Hanitka.
This episode of On a Mother Level may contain adult conversations regarding the magic of Christmas. La 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 la, a Christmas episode. It's episode 60 of On a Mother Level. Hey! Hi everyone, it's Denise and this is your Christmas episode of On a Mother Level. And I am so glad that you are here listening today. Episode 60, we have reached here on the podcast, and today my interview is with comedian Chris Schlichting. You have heard him on the podcast before. He's the dad of three, he's a teacher, and he is also a stand-up comedian. And so you are going to hear him talk about how the pandemic has pretty much shut down a lot of the comedy gigs that he used to love doing. So he's doing a different type of gig these days, so he talks about that. I share with you a little Christmas miracle that happened to me this week. In addition to a sizable mom fail that I had also this week, Chris talks about a heartwarming moment that he had with his 14-year-old daughter as of late. And we just kind of share the highs and lows of trying to find that perfect gift for our loved one this holiday season. So whenever you are listening to this, I hope it brings a little laughter into your life, whether you are hiding from your family after a long day of family small talk conversations, or whether it's next week, the week after Christmas, and you have some free time because you've taken the week off work and you just need a little break and a little escape. So I hope I can be that for you. And I appreciate all of your support today, this entire year, and beyond. So for our 60th episode, I say thank you and hope that you will check out the show and listen to some preview clips on Instagram. It's at On a Mother Level. So please give me a gift and give me a quick follow over on Instagram. Thanks so much. And here is Chris. Well, I really want to start because you're going to take over with the funny, but I want to start with my Christmas miracle story. I had a Christmas miracle happen to me a couple of days ago, and I can't believe that this happened. So I'm sure you've been there where you're loading the kids in the car, maybe not so much anymore, but loading the kids in the car, you've got stuff all over the place, everybody's yelling, I've got to get them out to Muscatine to my mother-in-law's. And so I drive them out there on Saturday and I'm going to drop them off there for a few hours and I'm going to head back to downtown Davenport. I've got a little shopping to do. So I drive out to Muscatine, drop them off, leisurely drive myself back to downtown Davenport. And I'm sitting outside one of the stores, just kind of getting my purse together. And I'm trying to think, where is my wallet?
Oh no.
Where could my wallet have been? Because I had to go back inside to grab it. And then when I went back inside to grab it, I put it on the roof of my car to buckle in Abram.
Oh, no.
And that's the last place I saw it. And I'm thinking, God, where could it be? If it was on the roof of the car, where could it be now? And then I remember a flash in my rearview mirror of like white receipts. But it was like, where did that happen? I remember seeing it and thinking I must have run over something, but where was that? So I'm frantically, angrily, just swearing up a storm, driving back to where I think it was. And sure enough, in the ditch is my wallet, every credit card and coffee punch card I've ever had, every rewards, whatever, Costco card, is all in the ditch.
Yeah.
But it's all there. every single old receipt is all in the ditch, but it sat there for like 3 hours and it was all there. And I can't even believe what a Christmas miracle it was after like the stupidest mistake. So that's my Christmas miracle story. I'm so relieved.
That could have been a huge headache. We've been there.
At like 4 days before Christmas, like going to the DMV, I can't imagine a worse experience than that.
Yeah, and I like to imagine you were like maybe two punches away from a free coffee, and that's a killer too. You know what I mean? You're so close.
Yeah.
I got a bunch. I don't finish cards. I keep accumulating it till it gets one punch away. Yeah. Or I have four ones, and one day I'm just going to treat myself with all these punch cards.
Yeah, you spend months working up towards something, and then, then it goes flying off your roof. I couldn't believe it. My neighbors were rolling up, because it was like just outside my subdivision. My neighbor rolls up. He's like, Denise, what are you doing? I'm like, you wouldn't believe it. I can't believe it was all there. I took a really stupid video of me picking up my stuff off the side of the road, and so you can hear in the video, like, my shoes clanking against the gravel and cars rushing past. This is me picking up all of my belongings, including money, off the side of the road. So just so you know, if you put your wallet on the roof of your car and then drive away, bad things happen, okay? But thank God my Costco card, everything's here. Everything's fine. This is just literally the stupidest thing that's happened to me. My driver's license. Ugh.
That's incredible. You lucked out there.
So much. So much. So stupid.
It was like kind of a similar incident. Like our credit card got jeopardized, I guess. And so this happened a couple months ago, and my wife was going through like the last purchases, and because sometimes we share the same bank account, but sometimes we don't communicate and about what we're buying. But she was like, I think our credit card's been compromised. Were you in a Best Buy in Texas? And I'm like, no, when have I been in Texas? And then it was like, were you ever at a grocery store in Indiana? I'm like, Emily, no. And she's like, I think our credit card's been compromised. And I'm like, look, they also are paying for the WWE Network, which was me, but I had to blame it on the other guy. Because like, who's paying $9.99 a month for the WWE Network? I'm like, this guy is a rascal. We got to shut this card down. So I totally blamed it on this other guy.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, I'm sorry about your programming. That's probably gone now.
I know. That's gone. It is gone. I got to watch a couple of WrestleManias though, so.
Well, yeah, it's okay. That's out of all the pandemic purchases, you know, $9.99 a month, that's not a huge hit. So that's okay.
Yeah, exactly. But I couldn't look her in the eye. I had to blame it on the other guy, the criminal. He's got an extra charge.
How do you do on gift giving, especially for like your kids and your wife? I found a funny tweet that I'm going to read you real quick, and hopefully this is not you, okay?
Okay.
Here's a marriage tip. If you need a new can opener, just get the new can opener. Do not give the can opener to your wife for Christmas.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So you're not planning like on a nice Dyson or some sort of housekeeping gift, are you?
No, my wife, as much as I love her and we get along great, she is really hard to shop for. She keeps everything kind of close to the vest and stuff.
This is so irritating. Really, go on.
I have to get creative and stuff because she always comes through for me. Like she'll get me something really nice and I'm like, darn it, I have the can opener for her. You know what I mean? So I'm really trying to be creative this year. And I think I'm pretty happy with it. So.
Oh, you nailed it this year?
I think so. So I think I can go ahead and tell you because don't release this until after Christmas.
Okay. Yeah. Great.
Well, I got some original artwork done. Johnny Clooney, he's a local artist. He did the Welcome to Davenport sign.
Yeah.
All the stuff. So me and my wife love Halloween. And one year for Halloween, we went as the people from The Shining, Jack and Wendy, Torrent. And it's just a really fun picture of us. And he did he did it all. He illustrated it and did a real cool illustration of that. And so I'm going to get it on a canvas print and I'm going to give it to her. And I feel really good about that. So yeah, I'm pretty stoked.
That's great.
Yeah, I'm
excited. Initially, I said I was irritated by this whole my wife is so hard to shop for because I just find that to be the biggest
bunch of BS ever. Number one, women like so many things. Mm-hmm. We have more categories of things we like than men do. I mean, if you could just list them all out, makeup, jewelry, lotions, gift certificate, we like all the things, okay? And then, not to mention, everywhere you go, some like poor guy can walk in and like the lady salesperson is delighted and overwhelmed with joy to help you. Oh, the same sure. is not true for women walking in and being like, when do I get my husband? Because they're like, I don't know, because I don't know what to get mine either. The blind leading the blind.
I can show you around my man cave. I have so many weird trinkets. I am borderline a hoarder. Like, I collect so much weird stuff. I'm pretty easy to shop for. And it's very, you know, you go into like an antique store, you just give me the weirdest thing and I'm all over it. So I think she's got a pretty good idea. I think I have a lot of categories too. So I'm going to defend mankind there, at least in my case.
Well, then she's lucky. So one thing I did for my husband this year that is a total wild card, and I'm just, because he's the type of guy who his hobbies are very specific, and it's not a hobby that I can just understand well enough to just try to find something. And then not to mention, if he wanted it, he would have already bought it for himself. So he's very difficult. So this year, one of his gifts is a total wild card. I told him last night that if he hates it, it's like the biggest waste of time and money like ever. But he loves crab cakes, and his mom makes these fantastic crab cakes. I've never tried to make a crab cake. I don't have any interest in doing that. So, but I heard about this place in Maryland that overnights crab cakes to you.
Wow.
And they're like straight from Maryland. I'm guessing they know something about that over there. They'll only do it overnight. So they're not coming until next week because they had to pick the day, you know? And I'm like, well, there's no point in overnighting them to get there on Christmas or Christmas Eve, because I'm not making these crab cakes on Christmas. Anywho, so I'm getting him allegedly authentic Maryland crab cakes.
I love it. That's a great idea.
Well, I appreciate your support, because I know you're not going to tell me it's a terrible idea.
No, I really like it. It kind of reminded me, you know, have you heard of these things? I thought these are kind of, they're called cameos, where you can hire a celebrity.
Yes.
It's kind of last minute, but I'm like, boy, that'd be cool. Cause my wife likes all those weird shows. No offense if you like True Blood and.
Okay.
So I just wanted to find maybe a random celebrity on there. Maybe not a main character, because I imagine the lesser character you are, the cheaper it is, but just get a cameo and pay him a little extra to say a nice thing about me, the husband, and how nice I am. And that's something I want to take into consideration, maybe for an upcoming birthday or Mother's Day. I think that's kind of a neat idea.
Yeah, that's a very cool idea. Why aren't you on Cameo? You could probably make a couple bucks on there.
Yeah, that's a good point. Let's push my cameos. Trust me, I'd be willing to do it. I have had a couple of weird things which make me feel totally uncomfortable, where companies hire me, you know, to do comedy at their work things via like this, like a Zoom meeting. But then they want me to pretend that I'm a new employee. And so I get introduced as the newest hire, and I'm just supposed to be like obnoxious and rude and not the ideal hire. And I absolutely hate it, because number one, that's not my persona.
Yeah.
I'm not really a rude person. And then two, it's just all improv, and I'm not really good at improv. I can plan out jokes and write them, but, like three times I've been asked to do this. Like, hey, here's your new personal banker. This is Chris Schlichty. And I'm just like, hey guys, I'll be honest with you. Like, I don't even know how to count. And like, just being totally stupid. And people don't know it. In the worst is people don't know it's a joke. So they're, you can see them in the little squares getting mad or confused, or maybe their cousin wanted the job and didn't get it. And it's just really weird. I'm like, can we please let them know that this is a joke? I hate it, but that's what they want me to do. And
I can't believe this has been a hire for you a couple of times. It wasn't just one kooky boss. Like, this is an epidemic.
And I'm like, can I just go on and do like, you know, 15 minutes of comedy? And they're like, we thought it'd be really funny if you pretended to be the newest. I'm like, no, it's not fun for me. It makes me nervous the entire time. Like, no.
Also, okay, so walk me through this. You're like, you're hired to be like undercover boss, but like not give out checks. Okay. Yeah. You're on a Zoom meeting and the meeting is just like regular meeting that anybody has at their office. They introduce you and then like what, like, so you, what do you say? Like well, give me a little spiel. Give me a little bit of it.
They do the whole, like, so the three cases that I talked about, they did like the whole protocol. They go over the numbers of what the year was. And then
which is
like,
so boring for you also, by the way.
Yeah, but I'll sit there and then I'm like in character. So I'll go on websites and look up the company policy. It's like, basically I have the job. Like I'm training, like I have the job. And then they introduce me. And what I do, what my trick is I just kind of go into my material. I'm like, well, I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. I'm married and I have three kids. And I kind of go into my material. That's kind of safe. But the worst is when they open it up for questions and I get questions about like, what would you bring to a potluck? And like, where were you at before this? I'm like, I do not like this at all. And the boss is just like loving it. She thinks she's so hilarious. I'm like, you look bad because you hired me. I'm a lousy employee. Like,
right.
It's just awful. And I feel dirty and I feel like it's not my style at all. But hey, in the end, I get a Venmo for some money because I pretended to do this.
So how does it go? Like how does the reveal go? What do they end up saying to, you know, out you? And then how is it received?
Well, what I do to avoid the awkwardness is I try to make it as extreme as possible, as quickly as possible. Like I remember for the bank thing, I think I brought up like, you know, casual Friday where you get to wear like funny shirts. I brought up like maybe roller skating Thursday where you got to bring in roller skates and skate around the bank. I thought it could be more efficient. You could get from one spot to another quicker. And I think people, once I suggested roller skating Thursday, I think they were like catching on that this guy can't be real. I mean, I think I was flirting with every girl there. I was like, oh, I'm going to be the really crude, like obnoxious like guy, and I'm always worried too, Denise, like, okay, so they encouraged me to do this, but I could see like the boss being like, okay, this has gone way too far, you are awful. And I'm like, you told me to be like,
so you're like, Janet, what department are you in?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, hello, no ring on your finger. Like, it's just, I feel dirty saying it, but I'm like, what do you want me to do?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Basically what I'm learning is that bosses are not funny.
I know, but, and it's just so weird to watch everyone's reaction. Most people think it's hilarious. You see like most people on mute, so you see them clapping, but you see other people like looking around. I'm like, I guarantee you they wanted this position and to get hired or something. Now it's a whole nother layer of, yeah, I'm like sweating just telling you about it now because I feel uncomfortable thinking about it.
So I mean, if you get another call, are you gonna do it, or are you like, all right, I've?
Oh yeah, sure, I'll do it. I'll do it.
Oh, I'll do it.
Heartbeat. Yeah. It gives me, I say it's scary, but it's also kind of exhilarating, and it requires me to put a little effort out in terms of like researching the company and stuff, but not too much. So basically, the less I know about a company, sometimes the better, the more funny, you know, it's just kind of winging it. But I would prefer just to do straight up comedy. Even when I'm performing on stage, when someone heckles me or says something, I don't want to deal with it. I'd rather just do my material. And that's the same with these Zoom meetings and stuff.
It's been a minute though, since you were last on stage. It's been a while.
It has been. And it's like, I don't know. It's just weird and uncomfortable. It's like, at first, doing all these Zoom comedy shows was really awkward, not getting the immediate feedback. Everyone's kind of muted. And then kind of a bad thing happened. I kind of got used to it. And it just became kind of the norm. Like, I would sit down in my couch and just tell the jokes and be done. And now it's, like, weird, like, going back on stage. And it's, you also know that you're not alone, too. Like, every comic is kind of dealing with this right now. And it's just, like, I don't know. It's like you're just kind of lost in the shuffle. And I'm really, really grateful that I have another source of income that, you know, I've always kind of not complained, but thought the teaching kind of hindered my career. Like I can't go to LA. I can't go to New York because I'm a teacher. But now I'm super grateful that I have another income and another salary because, you know, the gigs aren't there. There's no work. And this is the longest I've ever gone without going on stage. And I can, at first it was fine. It was kind of like a nice break, but now I can definitely tell something's missing. It's like when you work out every day and you, all of a sudden you take a couple of days off, you start to feel kind of sad or you can't quite pinpoint it. And I really think it's not performing. You know what I mean? So yeah. Any sort of interaction or sort of creative, even like this podcast, it allows me an outlet to try to be funny. You know what I mean? Because I need that.
Well, and in a way, like, are you getting new material? But then when you can get out and you can be on stage again, is anyone going to want to hear pandemic material? Because I'm already so angry about reality shows some dramas even that are writing the pandemic into it, because I don't want any of it. I don't want to hear about it outside of living it. Like, I'm physically living it. Why do I want to watch the This Is Us people do it?
Yeah, and then it's like, I think on the same tone of that, like, I saw an Old Navy commercial and everyone's dancing around, but they had masks on. I'm like, I don't want to cater to this. I don't like it. But initially, the same thing happened when I got married and had kids. I noticed that all my material was about what's happening in the moment. And then I noticed I was writing a lot of quarantine COVID material. And then a comedian I saw posted this on Facebook, Carmen Morales. She's out of LA. She's like, don't be the comedian that only talks about COVID and stuff, because nobody wants to hear it. We want to forget about being in this pandemic. And so try to rise above that and, you know, write your usual material. And that stuck with me. I'm like, yeah, you don't want to hear about this. You don't want to take the easy way out. So I've been trying to get away from writing the pandemic stuff. It's just, I don't know.
Well, I learned the other day that perhaps, like, I don't know, maybe I can't take a joke. Maybe I'm just like viewing it too strictly, but it really, really made me mad the other day when Dr. Fauci was on CNN telling kids that he personally went to the North Pole to vaccinate Santa. And something about the journalist in me that was like, you got to give me a break on this. We can't complain for months and months and months that people are calling us fake news and they don't believe what Fauci says and they're mad about this and the conflicts and that. And then we give people what is quite literally the fakest fake news. It really made me mad.
And I want to post about it on
Facebook. And everyone's like, it's such a positive story, Denise. Are you so negative? I'm like, yes, apparently I am.
I want to find that story and just read the comments. That's all I want to do, because I guarantee you people jumped all over that. And isn't Santa magical? Like, does he need it? Come on. Like, you're kind of breaking the illusion there.
Well, that's the thing. I feel like all you had to do to get out of that question was just to say, like, Santa's magic. He's cool. Like, the reindeer give him some semblance of immunity. I don't know. But something about, like, I went there. It was pretty cold, kids. Don't worry. The Pfizer vaccine needs to be stored at ultra cold temperatures. It worked out great. And Santa's vaccine. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I don't know. That might just be like the pandemic completely taking its toll, but I found no amusement in that.
Yeah, and it was like when this all happened, like March and stuff, it was, you know, sure, it was scary, but it was kind of like, I don't want to say neat, because obviously it wasn't neat, but it was kind of like unprecedented. And it was like, you know, I get to stay home from work. I get, you know, you really test how much you love your family. And it was fun and it was cool. We were handling it. And then I feel like when the second wave came, I was kind of like over it and just kind of, and the thing that's been tough for me, which has been really playing with my emotions. So we've been in school, out of school, half in school, half out of school. And I just can't get in a routine in terms of teaching, because, you know, I teach high school too. And I just feel bad for these high school kids. And I mean, it's definitely showing up, I think, in the work. And it's not. And another thing, like, as a teacher, you feel responsible, but at the same time, you can only do so much. I can't make these kids get on the Zoom meetings. I can't tell how many times, Denise, I was still required to teach. So I would get up in the morning, I would log on, I would set up my Google Meet, and I would just wait there for 2 hours, an hour and a half, for people to join the classroom. And there were multiple days where none of my kids would show up, but I would have to be ready. Yeah, so it was tough. Yeah, and I did not want to be in the building. I didn't feel comfortable. I mentioned, you know, my parents are kind of older. I wanted to avoid being exposed to anything, especially, you know, schools, not the, you know, cleanest, safest place in terms of spreading germs. And but at the same time, it's like, the only way these kids are going to learn is if they're in the building, in the classroom.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I'm dealing with now. And you know what? The one thing that I kept preaching to these kids too, because I teach speech, public speaking. And for a lot of people, not necessarily us, it's high anxiety. And these kids, you know, they have social anxiety and it's really tough to get up in front of a class and do this. But you know what? It's not so hard to record it on Flipgrid in your room alone and send it to me, which I was allowing my kids to do, but unfortunately not a lot of them took advantage of it. So now that we're back in the classroom, guess what? You got to do it. You got to get up in front of the class. So
there's been a ton of focus on how little kids are handling this, you know, because little kids are, you know, they don't know what's going on and they're so ill prepared to handle changes in their routine. You know, we protect their routine so carefully, but man, I mean, high school kids, it's like they're old enough to understand, but they're still not equipped enough to live a life with no boundaries, you know?
And it's funny because how I always joke about how tech savvy these kids are, but as soon as we have a pandemic and we have to rely on it, they suddenly don't know that's their excuse. I don't know how to use it. Or I can't tell how many times I'd have people join and they would, you know, they would take the video off. So it would just be the icon or whatever it is. And I'd be like, hey, Sarah, are you there? Like, I get nothing. I'm like, you're not. You logged in and then went back to bed or left. Yeah. And so I would still teach. I would teach. I'd record it. And then I would put it out there. But it made you feel really kind of, I don't want to say pathetic, but in a way, it's like I'm doing this lesson for some. And, you know, that's not everybody. There were a couple kids that were on every day taking advantage of it. And you still teach. And you do what you can.
How do you keep pushing forward? How do you keep yourself motivated? Because, I mean, it's hard to be motivated just to do the things you need to do as an adult, let alone motivate high school kids too. Yeah.
I think you keep reminding yourself you're not alone. Every teacher's dealing with this, even if you have to talk to other teachers. And at the same time, I mean, I don't want to say I don't care, but I'm doing what I can. And it's like, I don't question my work ethic. I question the high school kids' work ethic, but I just feel like, you know, it's there if you want it. But now that we're back in the building, it's a little bittersweet because it still doesn't feel great, but I can see the kids. I can interact with them. You know, I've already got these kids bumping up their grades because, you know, some kids flat out told me they prefer to do it in front of the classroom rather than record it, which is fine. My wife, God bless her, she is a special ed facilitator. So she oversees like all these teachers that are special ed teachers. And she has been working her butt off to make sure all these kids, you know, that have certain, you know, disabilities or requirements are getting what they need in order to still be successful. And it hasn't been easy. Like she's usually working till, you know, 7 o'clock at night, just trying to make sure that everybody, it's unprecedented. No one knows really what the protocol is, but yeah, she's kicking butt, so I'm really proud of her. She's really working hard and helping, and as all these teachers, we're trying. We're doing the best we can, so.
Yeah, do you feel a little misunderstood? I mean, for the longest time, the narrative was like, these teachers, they don't want to do anything, blah, blah, blah. Like, that probably got irritating.
Yeah, a little bit, and like, if anything, through this whole crisis and stuff, it's like, we adapt, we're creative, we figure things out. Now, other teachers more so than, I mean, these other teachers are doing incredible things. But yeah, it really makes you sort of stretch your creativity and try to motivate these kids. It makes me really appreciate for what I teach, you know, public speaking and communication. I know that tech is kind of the way it's going, but just to have a personal one-on-one interaction, I prefer that, and I want these kids to prefer it too, because it's just something that I think is kind of a dying art form almost, you know? And as much as I say I'm getting used to these Zoom comedy shows and even like teaching via Zoom or Google Meet, I still prefer to be in the classroom and on stage. That's where it's at, you know? There's something more.
Well, and I wonder too if there are lessons to be learned though about presenting yourself on a Zoom meeting. I mean, how many job interviews might one day be only on Zoom, and how many, you know, just how to sit there, how to have your background make you look like a civilized person, how to, you know, make your camera look halfway decent, you know, like that might be a skill that kids have to have in their back pocket, which is sad, but true.
And I can't stress this enough. Mute. If you don't want to be talking or heard, please mute your computer. And I say that too. There were a couple of times where I was teaching and my dog wouldn't come inside. And I think I was like, damn it, get inside, buddy. And then I have to sit down. I'm like, all right, guys, I just realized that my camera was not, wasn't muted. So I want to apologize. Please, Mr. Schlichting still needs this job. So please, it happens. And I don't even think it was damn it. I think it was something worse, but.
Have you had any like Zoom fails or like funny stuff you've seen like in kids' cameras that you're like,
I just think the muting is a really big thing. There's been a couple of when you stop the video, you'll see a name, or for the Google Meet, it'll be a profile picture or something. And there have been a couple of profile pictures where I'm like, is that a bong? Like, I just don't think a bong is a professional profile pic, or some really, sexy anime characters. Like, it's just really weird and uncomfortable. So that's kind of funny. Like, I don't want to sound sexist, but I think when the girls get up, they don't do their makeup. They just all frazzled and they don't want to be seen at all. And I get that. And so I don't require that I have to see you, but you got to interact with me. I got to hear you. So you got to say something. So that's just one way I try to interact, but nothing too bad. It's kind of weird because, these kids are like, right in their rooms, and you're kind of getting a peek of like their, their decorations and all this stuff. And you're right, you can make the bed, you can, like, especially when you're presenting a speech, just clean up a little bit, tidy up, especially in a job interview circumstance.
Oh God. Can you tell me the story, please, behind this? Why I'm blanking on it. This Tom Selleck volleyball thing.
We talk about how I just love trinkets. I love junk. I love anything that excites me. Tom Selleck, because of the mustache, we both got mustaches, therefore we're lost soulmates. One of my former students, who just got married, actually, congratulations to Amber, but she was cleaning her parents' house, and she just posted this picture of the Tom Selleck picture. It was Tom Selleck, 1984, volleyball honorary captain. He wasn't on the team, but he was honorary captain. And it's just this full-length poster, and I saw it. And then, Denise, I'm the kind of person, if I see something and it just locks into my head, I'm like, I got to have it. I got to have it. I might sleep on it for a couple of days, but I know I'm going to get it. And I can't tell you how many nights I've had where I buy something, I think of something, I'm like, oh, I wonder whatever happened to that Ninja Turtle action figure. I'm like, I'll go on eBay and see if I can find it.
Yeah.
There it is. I'm going to get it. But I just reached out to her and I'm like, how much do you want for that? And she was like, I'll give it to you for $15. I'm like, sold. Where am I going? And so that night I went and picked it up, got it. And it's hanging up in my man cave. It's great. I love it.
Well, it has your face on it though now.
Yes. Okay. So I have a loyal fan base that just are Photoshop, artists and experts. And they, every time I post something, they will find a way to incorporate my face onto it. And to tell the truth, I can't even tell. It's a seamless.
It really is.
Although I've never worn shorts that short.
Well, I think you gave that former student of yours a story for life. Out of the blue, I get a message from my high school speech teacher asking for my photo of Tom Selleck.
I think she thought I was kidding. And I think when I asked how much you want for it, she put LOL. And I'm like, I'm serious. And she was like, $15? I'm like, I'm on my way. What's your address? I don't know what the protocol is there. But she's out of school. Like I said, she's got a family of her own now. But she wasn't even there. It was her fiance at the time. And he probably thought I was a real winner showing up. Just like, gotta have it.
So is it hanging up somewhere in your house right now?
It is. I'll show you. But it's like funny when I walk in with that. My wife's like, what do you got right now? And I'm like, I didn't want to show you, Emily, because you don't understand my eclectic.
Don't get it.
And then my secret, Denise, is I didn't spend $15 for that. I spent $13 for that. I always round down the prices. So
right.
Still in trouble, but yeah.
What a dream. Yeah, those are some short shorts.
Yeah, I know. It's Los Angeles, 1984, Tom Selleck, honorary captain, men's volleyball team. Yeah, sure. Why not? Gotta have it. I feel so bad for my kids. They're going to inherit all this stuff when I go away finally.
Oh, seriously. Do you feel like there's one of your sons in particular that like seems to take a liking to the random stuff and the other one's like more embarrassed about it, or no?
No, unfortunately, I think I'm alone in this venture. But it's funny. I think about my dad who did all this stuff. And at the time, like, this is how I know I'm getting older. Like, my mom used to collect magnets. She used to have tons of magnets. And I used to thought it was so cheesy and stupid. And now, guess what? I collect magnets now. I just have a lot of magnets. I'm like, that's a sign that you're getting older.
Yeah.
And you're really into magnets.
It's like that, I think it's, is it Progressive? The commercials that are like teaching you not to be your parents.
Oh, those are so, I really enjoy those commercials. Those are really funny.
Those are really funny.
Like helping the plumber, giving the plumber suggestions.
You hired him. You hired him.
He didn't ask for your help.
We all see it. We all see the blue hair. We all see it. Okay. All right.
Yeah. And I don't know when it happened, because I always thought, like, I'm young, I'm hip. Me and these kids that I teach, we're right there on the same level. And then, you know, some kid was introducing me to his music, which was like screamo, electronica. And he played some for me. And I'm like, oh, man, this is bad. But I didn't say that. I was like, yeah. You can study music. man. I was like, I don't know when it happened. But yeah, I think I remember like telling my kids once, I'm like, hey guys, I don't want to like brag or anything, but you know, I've seen Tool in concert. And they were like, who's Tool? And I'm like, what? You don't know who Tool? I was like, that blew my mind. I'm like, oh, it's official. It's official. I'm lame. I'm a lame teacher.
Yeah, where the heck have they gone?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I was never like a fan.
They always want me to do comedy for them because I tell them, you know, I do stand-up comedy. I do it, and they always want me to do comedy. I'm a firm believer that if you can make high school kids laugh, you can make anybody laugh. But every now and then, I'll give them a little sample of something, and it's just so devastating when they're like, what? I'm like, oh, man, that joke works every single time on stage. How do you not get what I'm doing there? So that can be super frustrating.
Well, a story that I pulled for you here is a dad who appeared at his daughter's school wearing a full Buddy the Elf costume and then went full character. So I'm reading the article now. It says, he got into character loudly exclaiming some of the iconic phrases uttered by Will Ferrell in the movie. As soon as his daughter came outside school, he yelled, oh my goodness, it's Elena, I know her. When she first realized the greeting, she wasn't sure what was going on, and then she realized who was yelling. What is wrong with you? Those were my first words because I knew this is something he would do, but I thought my mom would be picking me up and I wasn't aware my dad would be joining her. He goes on to say, wait, I want to sing you a song. Elena, I'm here. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you.
Yep. I've seen that video. It is incredible. And I don't know if it was a punishment or something, but he definitely sells it and goes all out. Now, I have the twin 12-year-old boys. I also have a 14-year-old daughter who would die, absolutely die if I ever did that. And that's another thing that happens. Like right now, my boys worship the ground I walk on, and Ruby did too forever. But then there's a moment where all of a sudden my mustache and my pajama pants out in public aren't so cool anymore. And yeah, Ruby's definitely kind of in that phase. So, but she's also driving now. So if she wants to drive with me, she's got a permit, and that's a whole new venture. So she's got to put up with my embarrassing ways if she wants to drive my truck.
Yeah, tell me about how that's been going. I remember one of the first couple times I drove with my dad, and he still talks about it, because when you grow up in the Chicago suburbs, he takes you right out onto the expressway because it's sort of like fake it till you make it. And there was a swerve and a poorly timed lane change that he still likes to talk about. But how'd she do on that first go around?
Well, it's funny because notice how she drives with me. She doesn't drive with mom. And so
nobody's driving with me either.
Yeah, it's funny because it kind of happened subconsciously, but I've always kind of catered to the boys and Emily kind of caters to Ruby. And I think that has a lot to do with, I grew up with two brothers. Emily grew up with a sister. It's just kind of natural. But I tell you what, it's like heartwarming that me and Ruby have some time.
Okay.
It really is. Like, And she just talks. And I don't get annoyed with it because I'm like, dude, she's talking to you. Like, let it go. And it's funny. There was an incident. We were driving and she dropped this bombshell. I'm like, my little Ruby, my girl that's, you know, she was like, Dad, when's the first time you ever kissed someone? I'm like, and I know. And my immediate thing was thinking back to when I kissed someone. And then I'm like, wait a second, why? Like, I'm like, wait, why are we talking about this? It was just such a nice, pleasant moment. You know, just asking questions. I don't know. It was really heartwarming. I remember it forever. And, you know, I like, just like I round down on prices, I think I round down for the kiss age too. I think I said first grade rather than freshman of college. So, you know, just to kind of make myself seem cooler.
I think it was important to modify that memory.
Yeah. And then I thought about how old she was, and then I made sure I added like 6 or 7 years ahead of that. I was like, oh, I think I was 18, 19. Wasn't 14 by any means. No way.
Well, yeah, I don't know what it is, if they feel like a little bit vulnerable in the driver's seat, or, you know, you're not looking at each other. There's a little bit of a straightforward situation happening. But, man, that must have felt pretty cool.
It felt really good. And then I didn't mean to like rub it in or brag, but then I went and told Emily, I'm like, you know, Ruby just asked me when I had my first kiss. And Emily was like, that was with me, right? And I'm like, yes. She was like, she never asked Emily that. So it's like a weird dynamic. It felt good that I can be, you know, I'll always be her dad, but I'm a friend too. And I want to be there for, because I mean, trust me, you know, since turning, you know, 12, 13, 14, a lot of times I couldn't be there for her because I don't know how to be there for her. And that was definitely mom territory.
Yeah.
I want to be supportive, but I know it's hectic for her. And I think we're on the same page. And I just don't want to, like, I was definitely out on that. So I'm trying to make up for it in a way where I want to be supportive and helpful and not embarrass her or anything. And yeah, maybe I can give her advice through a guy perspective. And I like that. And now eventually, you know, I told Emily, I'm going to have to take these twins around in a car and start to explain to them the birds and the bees. Cause 12, you know, 12's getting up there. And I know I'm not looking forward to it, but I think I can handle it in a way where I won't make it so awkward. You know what I mean? They watch enough TikTok videos. I think I don't have to cover too much. Like, those things are awful.
I do feel like in being in terms of a girl dad, that you would be the dad who, the minute he sees like a risque, like Instagram photo, that you would recreate it and be like, there, you like that? Do you love it? Do you like me dancing on TikTok? Do you enjoy this?
Well, I also think it's funny because, you know, we're out in the North Scott area and like, I think every dad out here is a hunter. And I'm sure if any boy came home to their daughter, they'd show them the gun rack. But I mean, I have a lot of weird stuff. I could show them my nunchucks. Like, I don't think that's going to be as intimidating. But yeah, I still want to be that dad that's like, what time are you going to be home? Like, you know what I mean? Like, with my throwing star, just like twiddling my throat.
Just feel like it's a fidget spinner.
Yeah, yeah. Poor Ruby. She's so embarrassed.
Oh, but you know, that's all part of growing up, is being embarrassed of your parents. Because actually, I think there's something about being embarrassed of your parents that's more of like a, like there's something that actually you're endeared by them, you know, like,
yeah.
It's almost like the opposite of hate is indifference. You know what I mean? It's like, if they weren't embarrassed by you, that would mean that they actually hate you.
Yeah, I can, you know? See that. I can agree with that. And I think back, I was never really embarrassed of my parents. I got a lot of my humor from them and like the eclectic taste and all that stuff. But, and it's funny because I always think, you know, a lot of kids, it's always worse in your head than it is. I don't think kids really care about what your parents do. We all have parents, so I'm sure they all are weird to some degree, but yeah, I don't know.
Do you have any idea when you might perform next?
I've been really close with the owners of the Renwick Mansion in Davenport, yeah. Iowa, and we've been doing a lot of shows, but you know, there's always these new standards, you know, whatever the governor is saying at the time, but I think we're going to try to get something going again in January. And I don't think I've ever said this in my 15, 16 year career, but they were like, well, Chris, do you just want to headline it? And I was just like, I don't know. Like, I'm so rusty. And I feel like so ashamed for even saying that, but I just, and I will, I probably will. Cause I know I can handle it, but it's just weird. It's scary. It's, you know, you want to say it's like riding a bicycle, but you know, you get on that bike, you still forget a little bit how to balance. And, So yeah, hopefully in January we'll do something again.
I'm very hopeful.
I'll do your podcast again. That'll be, if I don't, I can do your podcast again.
Yeah, I mean, I'm blowing up. I don't know if you know that. Well, honestly, like being able to do it over Zoom, I was really angry about it at first because, you know, when you sit in a room with somebody, there's an energy there. There's kind of a vibe that is hard to recreate. But at the same time, Zoom also helps you meet people right where they are, you know, and there's like a comfort level there too. So I don't know. I think I'm going to keep doing it this way for a little while. Our podcast studio is totally off limits. We're not allowed to use it. No guests allowed, anything. So I've been trying to roll with it. You know, the audio is not quite as good, but if anything, everybody is so used to audio sounding different lately. And I don't know. I think our standards are changing on so many levels.
Yeah, for sure. And it's good that you're, because I know a lot of people that were doing something creative. You know, I even did a podcast briefly during this whole thing. And it's just, it's good to see that you're continuing to do it. You know, you talk about like how you're not blown up. It doesn't matter. A lot of this is just a longevity game.
Yeah.
And the great thing about podcasts is, you know, they can always go back and, you know, you can start. I can't tell how many podcasts I've started, Denise, where I always start from episode one. Even though that was 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So keep fighting the good fight and keep plugging away. And that's what we do, you know?
It really is a good time. And it's a fun outlet for me. And it's sort of like, you know, even though there's never been more podcasts out there, I mean, every single day, some celebrity's like, oh yeah, I'm starting a podcast. I'm like, great. Like, thanks for making it even harder on the little guys like me. But you know, as many podcasts as there are twice as many people out there looking for content, you know, so.
And I like the, you know, the parenting concept. I mean, that's universal and I'm always flattered to be on your podcast. And my wife's always like, why are you on it? I'm like, cause that's what they want, my perspective, you know, they want the father's perspective. So no pressure that I'm the father's perspective, but I think it's a universal subject. And you know, as a parent, as a teacher, as a accountant, you're not alone. This is like, you talk about crazy incidents that happen, you know, and it happens to all of us. And
Right. Well, I'll leave you with my mom fail for the week.
Okay.
Yesterday, Abram was getting on his socks. That's my older guy. He's 4. He's getting on his socks and he notices that there's like a small rip in the seam, you know, and I'm a stickler about holes in socks. And I normally do not condone leaving the house with a hole in your sock, but this one was so small and it was like in a strange spot. And I was like, could we just wear them for one last time? Let's give them this one last wear. And then we'll throw them out when you get home. So he begrudgingly puts on his shoes and he's all mad at me because I'm making him wear these holy socks. We walk into daycare and the teacher was like, yay, Abram, it's a shoes off sock party day. Oh. And his little 4-year-old face is like, the socks. And I'm like, why? Why would today be the shoes off sock party day? Why today? So we go over to his cubby and he's like, Mom, you said no one was gonna see it. I'm like, wow. Thankfully, in his little like extra spare pack in case I pee bag, I had a pair of spare socks. I was like, do you want to change into these, buddy? He's like, yes, I do. That's what I said earlier.
A little Oliver Twist coming up, like soot on his face.
Hi, Mom, can I just get a nice pair of socks? I'm like, you be quiet and get in the car.
Yeah, really.
That's enough. I don't know if he knew about this shoes off sock party day. I never heard of such a thing. Couldn't believe it. Of all the days.
Of course. That's how it goes.
So I will leave you with that, Chris. I really, really appreciate all the laughs today, and I hope people, I can't believe
I didn't get interrupted. No cats or dogs or kids came to bother me. This is great.
Well, your cat did spend a large amount of time grooming himself back there.
Yeah, I'm sorry, she likes to stay clean.
You know, you just gotta do you. That's what this is all about. Thank you so much, and I hope you guys have a Merry Christmas.
Of course. And if you ever want to borrow that Tom Selleck poster, you let me know. You can have it for a couple of days.
Well, you know, there have been some lonely nights during that.
You have a Merry Christmas. It's great to hang out with you again.
You have been listening to the WQAD Podcast Network. Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.